In the 1950s, you're possibly the cleanest, if you like, Republican campaign, mm-hmm. in that, and it's of a limited nature. There's no civilians killed, I don't think, in the border campaign of the 1950s.
No, there's none killed, yeah. There's one. There's a Republican supporter who's a civilian who's killed accidentally at Eden Tubber, mm-hmm. with four IRA volunteers, but the IRA doesn't kill any civilians.
Yeah, so sort of the most chivalrous campaign, that, but also the most unsuccessful.
Well, certainly, it's the... If you look at the context of it, it is really quite surprisingly chivalrous, because you had a lot of people in the Republican movement in the late 40s who were looking at Palestine and looking at the success of the Jewish underground organisations. And there is quite a, there's quite a lot of admiration for the success of the different organisations in achieving what people at the time see as independence for Israel. And also you have the Cypriots in the 50s. Who have a lot of contact with the IRA, both personally and in ideological terms. Carl Goulding and a number of others, Sean McStephen, of course, are in jail with members of EOKA in Britain. Now, in both those cases, both the Irgun and the Stern gang in Palestine and the EOKA in Cyprus, they use very ruthless tactics. I mean, the Irgun blow up the King David Hotel in Jerusalem and kill 90 people. They hang captured British soldiers in retaliation for executions. They shoot unarmed policemen and soldiers. The Cypriots blow up cafes. They shoot off-duty soldiers. They kill dozens of people as suspected informers. And in fact, they kill members of rival political parties as suspected informers. And the IRA are interested in all those things. And, you know, Sean Cronin, who's in some ways the strategist behind the Operation Harvest, behind the border campaign, is interested in all those. And he's interested in what's happening in Vietnam with the French and the Vietnamese. And he's interested in Algeria. But they don't adopt those tactics at all. They don't do anything like that. And they could have, in the early 1960s, they could have targeted cinemas and pubs and restaurants in which off-duty British soldiers socialised, but they don't do it at all. They could have tried to kill off-duty B-specials and policemen, and they don't do it at all. Now, the idea is there. I think you do have people who say we're just not being ruthless enough. There are other ways. But they do attempt to adopt very much what... In part, I think they looked at the War of Independence from the view of the 1950s and from the view of the fighting stories, Limerick's fighting story, Dublin's fighting story, with the IRA and the Fight for Independence books that were out at the time. The kind of constant coverage in the Sunday press every week of ambushes and stories. And they really, the IRA generation of the 50s weren't very aware of the widespread killing of informers and weren't very aware of the nastier aspects of the Tan War. What they did know about was the kind of romantic story. And in some ways, they thought you could recreate that in a more modern era, hopefully draw the British into combat, create liberated areas, use the flying column tactic. I think they did have some, obviously, idea. I mean, underneath all that, there was the awareness that Catholics were discriminated against in Northern Ireland, that there was a level of Catholic dissatisfaction which could be spurred on by an armed campaign. Again, the 1916 legend, which historians and everybody else are still arguing about, mm-hmm. whether or not that really was the kickstart of everything. If you believe 1916 was the original action, and that even though the rebels didn't have popular support, their actions in the long term won popular support, then you could believe that the border campaign would eventually spark popular support as well. And I think the 1916 idea, the War of Independence idea, concepts of liberated areas, I think Cronin was looking at different parts of the world for that as well, but all those ideas come into play. I mean, there was a couple of policemen who were killed in ambushes, which are not necessarily at the time seen as very chivalrous, you know, killed by landmines, for example, but certainly in comparison to the War of Independence and in comparison to the war after 1970, it is very clean.